Okay. A favorable factor, which is also unfavorable, and a good example is 90% Catholics. At the same time, there's a increasing awareness of non-Catholic movements that are knocking at your door, okay? And there has been a lot of inoculation. Catholics know the gospel the way we present it now. And so there's no need to change, okay? So that's a favorable factor, but there are problems. And those problems are addressed in strategy, okay? They're addressed in strategy. So I need to present the gospel in a manner that will appeal to this Catholic friend of mine so that soon, slowly, okay, key word is slowly, he or she will see on his or her own the difference, okay? I mean, 30 years ago, you could literally walk through a mall and get 50 people accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, okay? Because the country was so open, so wide open, okay? So, again, just on external environment, you need to list all of the major big picture items. And sometimes it's no big deal, okay? Because a big picture factor, the thing about the big picture factor is it's right under your nose. And you don't want to miss it, okay? You don't want to miss it. The business of victory, okay, honor God, make disciples, the business of victory is people. And your target, our target, is young people. So any demographic shift is a big picture factor, okay? Any concentration of young people. Somebody told me the emergence of the BPO industry. Okay, that's an unusual concentration of young people. Schools, an unusual concentration of young people. So is K-12 a favorable? Is K-12 a factor?
Yes.
Is it favorable or unfavorable?
Favorable.
Why is it favorable? Because there's more. The kids are in school longer. Perfect. That is an absolutely perfect analysis of K-12. Okay. K-12 is an absolutely great, positive, big picture factor. Okay. Now. That's right. My opinion, victory among all the churches in the Philippines is best positioned to capitalize on the favorable external factors in the Philippines. Because it's known as it's invariably known alternatively as the hip church, the young church, the celebrity church, the what have you church. But if you take all of the spectrum of labels that victory is given, it's all very welcoming to a young demographic structure. So it's victories to lose. The Philippines is victories to lose. Meaning, I mean, the system, the structure is designed to succeed. And only we can mess it up. Are you with me? See? Only, it's ours, the Philippines is ours to lose. So we dare not mess it up.
Okay?
All right? So that's why strategy, accuracy is very important. So let's go to, what's the first way to develop a strategic mindset? Way number one is be aware of the? Okay, be aware of the strategic context. Number two, identify strategic issues accurately, okay? What on earth is a strategic issue? Something that, if left unresolved or unaddressed, will hinder the achievement of an organization's strategic objectives, okay? So, it's very close to value-based strategic planning because a strategic issue is an issue that okay, if I don't deal with that, we will not achieve our strategic objectives. Our strategic objectives derive from our mission. Honor God, make disciples. Okay? Anything that hinders that is an issue. Okay? So, how are strategic issues identified? By analyzing an organization's external environment, which we just went through. By analyzing the reasons for the organization's historical performance versus its mission, vision, or long-term goals, whether it is achieving these mission-driven goals or not. And by doing a SWOT, a strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities and threats analysis of the organization to identify, underscore this, root causes or issues underlying its performance. The key word is root, okay? Because there are hundreds of issues. You want the root cause or issue. Okay. What are the tips? Give you some tips on to identify. Where am I? Okay. Tips. How to identify issues accurately. Process facts into issues. As I've said before, facts are too low level a detail. Okay, don't get distracted by facts. Start with facts, but don't get stuck with facts. Okay, start with facts, don't get stuck with facts. You must process facts into issues. Issues are grown-up facts. Okay, facts are too immature, too raw, too infantile. You need to process facts into issues. Number two, sweat the debate on what the strategic issues are. In other words, expect pain, expect agony, expect fights, okay? Because you need to sweat it, because if you're wrong in identifying a strategic issue, everything else after that is wrong or irrelevant, okay? You need to get to the root issue. Number three, face the brutal facts of your ministry, okay? I mean, are we making it? Are we not making it? Face the brutal facts. Allow for no sacred cow structure, process, or person. I didn't mean to equate cows and persons, but there's no other term. Allow for no sacred cows, structures, process, or persons. In other words, everything is on the table. Okay? Nothing is untouchable. Okay? Nothing is untouchable. Except the Bible. Okay, the whole framework is the Word of God, all right? This requires knowledge of the ministry's internal operations, experience, and clear analytical thinking. All right. Now, what I want to do is another breakout, like I told you. You're going to do most of the work, and Paul and I are just going to have fun having coffee, watching you agonize. Breakout group, same breakout, okay? Looking at the same ministry in the last exercise, discuss with your group its historical performance. This is when you need these facts, okay? You need this sheet of paper. Looking at the same ministry in the last exercise, discuss with your group its historical performance. Lynn, you are free to terrorize your group to do Real Life Foundation. If you will persuade them to do that, it's fine. Analyze reasons for this performance. Do a SWOT of the ministry. Now, I realize you don't have a lot of time, but on the other hand, it's very familiar ground, okay? Very familiar ground. I don't need a lot of thoroughness. What I need is not so much depth, but breadth, okay? I want more coverage than elaboration, okay, on the SWOT. What are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, okay? And then identify the top 5 to 10 strategic issues facing the ministry in light of its external environment, historical performance, and its SWOT. Okay? From the external environment, you will either get threats or opportunities. Wow, 90% Catholic country. Wow, that's a great opportunity. Okay? Wow, a big BPO audience. Wow, K-12, a huge concentration of the population. Our target audience. In one location, very efficient. Can you imagine you can reach 5,000 people in one place? Right. You see, that's very efficient. Huge opportunity. Okay? So, what the deliverable is this. Okay? Let's take not the whole chart, but let's take 2006 up to 2011, okay? You will analyze 2006 up to 2011, okay? Now, I understand you don't really have any specific numerical goals, but you can look at the numbers and ask yourself, is it good news? Is it bad news? Okay? Are we doing well, averagely, or badly? Okay? So analyze the numbers from 2006 to 2011, and then do a SWOT of Victory Metro Manila. So the presentation will be, here's our analysis of the performance. This is what's good about it. This is what's bad about it. As simple as that. And this is our analysis. This is our SWOT. Here are our strengths, our weaknesses, our opportunities and threats. Any questions? Okay, 15 minutes. Just a warning, the groups that have not yet presented will present this time, all right? More important is we hear presentations and then we process, all right? So two groups have not yet made a presentation, so it's Carlos's group and CJ's group. So who wants to go first? Huh? Sige, kaya, all right.
Brownie points. Gaya, gaya.
There are three groups of questions. How are we doing? What's our performance? What's good, what's bad, and why? What are our SWOTs, and what are our issues? All right? Okay.
Wow, how scary Carlos. Naman this.
Carlos, you have 2 minutes.
All right. Can you go? The good, looking at our historical data and focusing only on the chart, the good news, we have more than doubled. If you look at the number of 2006 average attendance to 2011, we've more than doubled our attendance. Considering this is average attendance, meaning we've actually peaked higher than that, but we've more than doubled. Second, you can see a clear, consistent growth in attendance, and the chart looks really nice. So kudos to ADOC for making the chart. So next. We noticed that in 2010 to 2011, 2006 to 2010, the number of small group leaders were waffling at this roughly around the same numbers. But in 2011, a spike you see in data, over 1,000 people, new small group leaders. So we said good news is whatever structural people and process changes made to adjust this are actually taking effect. Okay, so the bad news, though, is the ratio of small group leaders to actual growth is still at a relatively high ratio.
Why is it
for
bad
us.
News?
Because maybe on a more healthy, sustainable, ideal setting, in order for us to achieve our goals, which is to do discipleship, we need to have this ratio at a lower number, or else we will end up with more of a crowd than what we're really trying to achieve, which is discipleship. So our SWOT, here's what we came up with. On the positive, we have very comfortable facilities found in strategic locations across the metro. So at any one time, anybody can go anywhere. Excellent services with a focus on, we wanted to highlight kids ministry, which really is probably, we think, world class. So people friendly, our location, the staff, the smiley now serving individuals are all welcoming and inviting. People don't feel bad about inviting people to a Victory congregation. God has given us momentum. You can see in the last 10 years, looking back beyond 2006, there's consistent growth. So that for us is a God-given momentum that we want to just consider a strength that really we have it. So we go. Okay, so clear vision and mission. We have more staff now than before, particularly in the campus, admin and pastors. There's a strong volunteer base, clear discipleship process, opportunity of distractions. This is already weakness or threat. Opportunity of distractions as we experience success, because we can end up doing too many things. Outgrowing current structures. We're overtaking our structures. Communication-wise, there's a weak feedback system. We do things, we don't really hear whether what we do is effective or not. Okay, so there, we ended up that. Then we jumped because we ran out of time, so we went into issues. So, sorry, where are the issues? Okay, somewhere. The issue is we forgot to put it there, so. No, thank you.
No, what happened?
No, we do it. It's somewhere there. There. Yay! Okay. The first strategic issue, we wanted to focus on the discipleship one. The facts that we see in terms of numbers indicate that there's a growing crowd. So we want to take advantage of our momentum. We don't want to stop it, but we want to translate the discipleship focus into growing the crowd into disciples. So the recent changes have shown that, and we want to keep going in that direction. And then also, in light of that, we didn't get to write it down, but what they were saying is most of the Victory people know they're saved but can't really explain how they're saved. Their theology is kind of iffy. So the strong emphasis on discipleship would really ground them on a theological basis for the things that they feel. The third one is ramping up the structural and process adjustments through activities like staff dev and inviting people like Alex Casillo to cope up and take advantage. Not just cope up, we wanted to state the term taking advantage of the growth. Because we don't want to just catch up to the train. We want to actually ride it and get somewhere. So, there.
Thank you, Carlos. Who's going to?
Yeah, it's me. Yep. For us, the group of Pastor CJ, medyo pareho lang din nung, of course, what Pastor Carlos presented. Yes. But we'll just make it simple. Of course, the analysis, the good part of the data is we are increasing in attendance. So you can actually see that in the table presented to us. Of course, the bad part there is the increase of attendance is not proportional to the Victory group. And later on, makikita niyo yan doon sa SWOT analysis namin. So, masyado maliit. So on the SWOT analysis, number one, ang strength na nakita namin is, of course, the engaging and relevant worship services. Number two naman, facilities are increasing to accommodate the people. So, kaya meron tayong mga buildings na tinatayo. And number three, operational excellence, as pointed out by Ms. Pinky. Number four naman is locality. So, one of the factors that causes us growth is we're strategically placed in malls, in, you know, where people technically go. No? So, number five naman, strong and active campus ministry, of course, pointed out by no other than the national director. Yeah, syempre naman, di ba? Sa atin, atin na atin yan, di ba? The life box people, okay? strong and active, di ba? All right. So, sabay banat na gano'n. Okay, weakness naman. Yung weakness na nakita namin is, of course, the development of the leaders are not at pace with the growth of attendance. So, okay. So, typo lang yan. So, may kita nyo naman na with the growth. Yeah, come on now. Check it out. So, yung growth na yon, may kita natin na malakas yung pasok or the influx of people are pretty much mas mataas compared to the people who are ready and able to lead them. So, yun yung nakita naming weakness. And of course, the opportunities there is dahil maraming tao, maraming estudyante mo, pasok more campuses to penetrate, okay, to start the ministry. And then of course, church plants are also an opportunity. Last is an opportunity there is to raise more leaders. So, kita natin na oh, wala masyadong leaders na tumatayo. So makikita natin na marami tayong sinisipa para tumayo or ano may, somehow train them to lead other people. And of course, the threats that we also recognize is katulad ng sinabi ng grupo nila ni Pastor Caloy, yung rising of the Roman Catholics. So parang ano, the rise of the Roman Catholics. Parang ano lang, parang Megatron type na ano, no? The rise. Oh, man. Hindi naman. Hindi naman. So, okay, number two. Okay, issues. Okay, so safety and security. And of course, youth pop culture. We just had, ayan, top three lang. So number one is leadership development. Of course, being creative and accurate in terms of our communication, of our messages. Kailangan din natin, katulad ng na-point out din ni Pastor Caloy about, you know, sharing the gospel and really pointing out, you know, how to really engage students maybe. And of course, part of that yung how to really, of course, train our new people to really lead small groups. Small groups pa ba? Victory groups na pala, no? Parang may kalumaan ng konti, alright? Okay, and then of course, operational excellence. And when we say operational excellence, we're talking about we have a good number of facilities. It's just that maybe for some of them, kailangan pang i-train in terms of managing how to really maximize their space, their buildings, and really, you know, be world-class in terms of excellence. So yun yung mga kailangan nating asikasuhin. And of course, creative campus outreach. So we're seeing or we're saying that maraming ang nagra-rise up Catholics and you know a lot of pop culture. So we have to be accurate. The rise of the Catholics, you know. Well, we have to be creative in terms of engaging them so we can hook them. But at the same time, I guess we have to also be accurate in terms of communicating the right theology. Of course, with the help of Pastor Paul Barker teaching us that. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Big hand. Okay, let's process. Difficulties. How did you find that experience? What was hard? What was easy?
We were focused more on numbers rather than translating to something.
We were so focused with the numbers and we're having a hard time interpreting
Very good.
The figures.
Very good. Anyone else? Difficulties in the analysis, SWOT, yes. Were you, just scratching your head. I thought you were raising your hand. Yes. Where's the mic?
Giving observations based from what is actual data rather than assumptions.
Giving observations based on actual data.
Not just from the assumptions, because we have to be, we have to maintain that discipline that we don't know anything else beyond this.
Excellent
data.
Point. Excellent point. Very good. Yeah, Carlos.
I don't know if this is everybody else's experience, but we had a hard time identifying our weaknesses.
Okay.
It was easy to name the strengths, you know, but then when we started thinking of what our weaknesses are, it was slower. We had to admit things.
Narcissism prevails.
It's hard to boil down what are the real issues.
Yeah. It's hard to boil down what are the real issues. Yeah. Yes. Somebody was raising her hand here.
I think for me, I see that it was a really broad SWOT. It's for the whole Victory Church. But the data that we're looking at is just the attendance. I think attendance, number of Victory groups, it's just a part.
Lack of data.
Yes, lack of data.
Very good.
That's why we had so many to think of for the SWOT, too little time, and we don't know what's the focus.
Very good. In fact, you can't do a SWOT without a lot of data. Yeah. Okay? And that's the one of the first things I wanted you to identify is we don't really know enough. What else? What else? Difficulties in doing the analysis, the SWOT, and the issues.
in our group, while we were looking at the historical statistics, we can't help but want to look back on what exactly happened on each year, like 2006, 2007, 2008. We really wanted to go in-depth historical study. We were like stuck. What happened last 2008? So we wanted to identify at least some of the factors influencing the growth or the lack of
inclusion. Which is exactly what you should do. But again, you must understand this is very artificial. In the real world, you actually have more than 15 minutes. And what I wanted to make you experience is the process, okay? The process, okay? And that's why we're processing the process so that you can learn. The key thing is, A, I need to have data, okay? And I need to understand the data, which is what this group was trying to do. Why did we grow that fast during those years? Well, you can relate it to the low ratio. When the ratio deteriorated, actually, the growth almost flattened, okay? Now, why is a low ratio good and a big ratio bad? I mean, why is 12, ratio of 12 bad, and why is ratio of 6 good?
People will be burned out having
sustainability, okay? The key is sustainability. Now, is there a formula? No, but we know, I mean, in real life, I mean, if you're taking care of 15 people, it's a lot more difficult than taking care of 5 people, okay? So the key word is, A, sustainability, and two, future growth.
Yes.
See? Yes. Future growth. The mission is to honor God and make disciples, not to get a crowd, okay? You cannot disciple 28 people. You can disciple 3 people. So that is mission critical. That ratio is mission critical.
It is, yes.
See, you need to. What else? What else is? What else do you not know? The numbers are there, but what don't you really know about the leaders? Exactly. You don't know the quality. Okay. So that is why a low ratio has to be the target, because you might have to knock out 25% of those people. Because they may not be committed. They might not be knowledgeable. See, you don't know the quality of the leaders. So if the ratio deteriorated and the quality is, if only 80% are good quality, then you know that ratio is even more difficult. You see. So you don't know a lot. And what you need to feedback to me is, Alex, we don't really know. And I would say bingo. Because when you do an analysis, you need data. You need to understand the data. Okay? And when you do SWOTs, you need really a lot of time and a lot of experience. So we wanted to form the teams into groups with people who had a lot of experience in the ministry. Because if you're a newbie, you won't be able to get the nuances, however you pronounce that. Carlos.
I think another point is something we talked about before the class started, which is the lack of clear goals. Yep. Because whenever you measure historically, you also want to measure it to set goals. And, you know, are we achieving goals we've set? And what we have here is just a chart. No indicator whether we hit the mark or
that's
not.
Right. So, very good point. Okay, the good news is you have enough data to be able to develop goals. You know, you reach a ratio of 6, and you know you deteriorated to as bad as 12. So you can say, okay, 6 is probably a good vision number, a vision goal. Okay, so all right. What about issues? Issue development, issue identification. Any difficulties? What did you experience when you got to the issues? Other than lack of time.
Yeah, the definition of strategic issue, like if left unresolved or unaddressed, help us to qualify the issues.
So, right.
So with this definition, it made us more specific. This is our issue.
So it helped you.
Yeah, this is very
perfect. It's a screen, no?
Yeah.
That's not a key issue. That may be an issue, but it's not a strategic issue. See, the problem is when you do issue identification, 300 issues will emerge. And the skill is, okay, what's a strategic issue? What's not a strategic issue? Yeah, but the color of the curtain or the carpet is not a strategic issue. OK? Okay? In some churches, they make it a strategic issue. Okay? You know what I mean? Whether the song leader have uniforms or not. You see, those are not... Many churches, many organizations fail because they force a strategic dimension on issues that are not strategic. And so it becomes tedious. And nakakapagod. And by the way, very unproductive. And it causes a lot of friction, you see. So if you focus on the mission, okay? If you focus on the mission, there will be less arguments. Is that mission critical? Is that issue mission critical or not? If it's not, it cannot be a strategic issue. Okay? That is why, typically, 5 to 10 issues. You cannot have 83 issues. Otherwise, you should close shop. I mean, you can't have 83 issues. Any questions? Any more questions? Okay. Yun na, yung customer na yun kanina pa. Sir.
Yeah, Alex, looking at the data, I think we can have a clear formula. From 2004, the bottom line is 14,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the small group leaders...
5.5.
The small ratio. Group leaders, 2.5, and the ratio is 5.5. I think that's the clear formula, which if Victory could do or stick to the formula, which is the Pareto principle, which is 10%, at 20%. If we stick to 20% in 2011, the 50,000 attendance, it should be more or less 10,000 leaders.
Okay. I would not have a hard and fast rule. You know, the communists require 1%, but the quality of the communist is very. He's gonna give everything he's got. So you know, I'm not gonna be very numeric. You gotta be qualitative as well.